Let's just roll up our sleeves and try to learn Urim together. Urim had two kashas. The same two kashas that Tosas asked. Unlike Tosas until yesterday, Tosas presents his two kashas very obliquely. He just gives us a yesod and says, and that's why neither of these two kashas are shver. Urim is more direct in his structure. In terms of his kashas, he lays out kasha number one, he lays out kasha number two. But once we get to his teretz, so it's hard to say that he's quite as direct. Very, very rich, and we're going to have to work hard to understand what he's driving at. So let's take a look. Well, let's back up a little bit. We already started to get into his teretz yesterday, and then we got cut off by the bell. Let's start again from the beginning of his answer. In the edition you have in front of you, it's third line of the second paragraph. Dibra Maso of the Ode Shel Smoa, the Simen Kuf Tazayin, Lefisa of Arasi, Sha'af Arish. Earlier in the one. Which page? Yireyim page Membeis. Amud Dawud. He has pillars because he organizes all the mitzvahs into different categories. So this is officially, you should know, just to be aware, this is officially his treatment of the din of the dinum of Yiyud. And when Yiyud does Yiyud of an Amar Riyah. If you look at the sugya in Kudushin Yud Ches, Bevigdoba, so that's within the sugya of Yiyud, of the potential for an Amar Riyah relationship to metamorphose into a marriage relationship. And there are times when Yud is available, times Yud is not available, and the Gemara accesses the words, the phrase in Mishpatim, Bevigdoba, and that the Gemara has a discussion, Bevigdoba is a Beged or Begida, Mikra, Masores, boom. So this is where the Yireyim chooses to locate his discussion about Yeshem Lemikah, Yeshem Lemasaras. And so if you saw Ashishah, she says, according to the Svar that I am about to lay out for you, this Ritzukah, Akushas, Chalukas HaTanon, Mechalukas HaTalon. All the Kashas will fall into place, will understand, or I should say, maybe more precisely, now we'll understand, but we will no longer be bothered by differences between different Sugyas. Let's take a look. Nearly. The first thing you need to know is it was driving all these machloksin about Mikra Masores. Whoever gets involved in the machlokas with the Yeshem Likash and Masores was driving them fundamentally is a question of what is proper Hebrew. Specifically, what is proper biblical Hebrew? Afarish Echemehen, Hamosar, not Mutter, Hamosar, Mimena Yilamegur. Let me give you one illustration. Let's choose one sugya. We'll go through that. And then you'll use this example to apply to other sugyas as you come across other sugyas. Basukos, basukos, basukos. The first two without the final vav and the last one with the final vav. Just to clarify, some guys were getting confused. I'm sorry if I was confusing yesterday. The word Sukkah in biblical Hebrew never has a vav after the samach. In Mishnaic Hebrew it does, as you see on top of your Gemara. In biblical Hebrew it does not. I will, for those who are grammatically oriented, ought to do with the Dagash Chazak and the double chaf in Shoresh. For those who are not grammatically oriented, ignore the last 5 seconds. Either way, the fact is, for everyone, whether you know why or not, the word sukkah in Tanakh will almost invariably be spelled samach kaf hey. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is not the vav between the samach and the kaf. We're talking about when you pluralize it, the vav between the kaf and the taf. Is it sukkos samach kaf vav taf or sukkos samach kaf taf? Right, we know this, but just to chazer again, just so we're clear. Misfire? That was deep. That's what we have in the Chumash. Those are the three. 1, 2, 3 times that the word appears in Amar. And this one is the normal, presumably, the normal grammatical spelling. Or is it? So let's see. Nothing. Basuka Teshu Shiva Seven. I mean, I'm in three different options. That's meaning the word appears three times. Basuka Teshu Shiva Seven. Call it Zrachni Zoda Shiva Sikos. Keep us a close or shaft is B'nai Yisrael. Sorry if I'm not being clear. Okay, so what does... So the handle is all about the Vav before the Tav, not the Vav before the Kaf. Basukas, basukas, basukas. Rabbanon, Savri, Yeshem, La Masoris. Chachamim, we're going to follow Masoris. What does that mean? Sovereign, they hold that Hadaikus din Havaras, Os, Lihios, Bevav. That the proper way to spell that pronunciation would be with the letter Vav. When you have a plural, when you have the plural, one of the plural suffixes we know is Vav Tav, and that's typically spelled with a Vav. Not just with a Tav, should be Vav Tav. So that would be a normal spelling. Mashachaser vav ledrosh, and here's how the dynamic works according to the Yireim, that you need to determine what's normal, and then we're gonna whenever there's a split between pronunciation and spelling between mikra and masoras, you have to ask yourself, says Yireim, which one is strange, and we're drawn to that which is strange, not psychologically, but in other words, whichever is strange is nitan lidarish. Because there has to be a reason why it's written strangely, why it's written anomalously, atypically. And that's hinting, that's telling me something. That's more meaningful level of drash. So then, achareshi karo b'chisaron vav in Toma. The Maharaj Yam has been came, but I think he probably meant in Toma. Achareshi karo b'chisaron vav ein choshishin lemikra. If the root is missing vav, in other words, main aspect we're going to focus on from a drasha perspective is the fact that it's missing. And we're going to look at this word. You can read this word as you could interpret it as singular or plural. The spelling indicates singular. The pronunciation indicates plural, which is out of, but the mice, the word is basukos. So the spelling, Chacham say, is off. Wow, that's very significant. That, bang, star that. The spelling is off. Oh. So when we're darshing the word, we're going to darshan it as a chaser. That's the more significant aspect for drasha. So therefore, we're not to be choshesh for the mikra l'darsho klum. We're not going to give any significance to the fact that the pronunciation is basukos, because that's normal. So then he says, one second, there's something missing here. There's a lot missing here. Something missing here is, so I understand, lama lo yikara derech emes basukas, lama yikari l'shon rabim. Why didn't the Torah, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to us in the singular? If you want me to darish in singular, so you give me a bizarre spelling that's going to highlight the singular. So let the whole word just be singular. So why do I talk of the normal, basuka, the normal pronunciation is very normal, and therefore it's not, nothing remarkable about it, and therefore we're not darishing it, so why is it even there? How do you make sense of that? It's not just that it's a strange spelling, it's strange that there's a divergence. What do you do with that? In fact, there's a divergence between the Mikra and the Masoras. So that's what he says. That's understandable. Omrim lecha, ein lecha kriyas lashon rabim shibush. Even though, for drasha purposes, we're focusing on this word as a singular, because this word has sort of multiple facets to it. So now you're wondering, so why does it have a plural facet to it? But no, that's not a problem. It's not a mistake. It's not bad. The asuka is the alma kama shanim kai. Because that's a reference to sort of a larger sense. The asukas of many years. Basukos, Teshu, Shivas Yamin means you, Jew, you should live in Sukkos. Over the course of Mirtz Hashem, 120 years, there'll be a lot of different Sukkos. Not that in any one year or at any one moment you're in multiple Sukkos. In terms of how many walls, this word only gives you one Sukkah, only one wall. But we mean, you know, in general, overall sense. Let's say, Mashal Ba'ad Davar Dona. I say, I'm the type of guy, I bring my wife presents. I recommend to you as well, Mr. Jones, for many, many healthy decades, bring your wife presents. I say, you know, as I say, sit down on the house where I get scenario, I say, you know, it's important to bring your wife presents. From time to time. So what does that mean? That means, from time to time, you should show up with three presents, two presents. Not necessarily, no. Any one time, you bring one present. But you should bring her presents, or in more general terms. Over the years, you'll bring many presents. You bring her a present before every one of Shal Shabbat. Get her a present for her birthday, her anniversary. Over time, it adds up. You get big presents, small presents. Figure out how much it's often less how much you spend than, obviously, and the thought that went into choosing, crafting, planning. But bring where, so that happens to be true too. But let's focus just on the grammatical aspect for a moment. If I say you should be the guy who brings his wife presents, it doesn't necessarily mean that at any one time you're bringing her more than one. But the plural is still appropriate. Because overall, the big picture, it's going to be many. So he says, to say, Basukos, Teshu, Shivas, Yamim, even though from a drasha perspective, this only means one wall, but it's also true, it is true that you should be in Sukkos. Because over time, it's a general statement. You should be in Sukkos. Now, this is a little bit strange until you realize, and I'll take a question, what he's doing, you're saying, one second, is it plural, is it singular? I understand. So what he just did, he didn't stress it, what just happened is he bifurcated into looking at the pasuk simultaneously on two levels, or with two sets of glasses, if you will. Now, some of you had Rebbe in the past that spoke like glasses as a metaphor, right? What glasses you put on. So you can look at this pasuk with two different sets of glasses, both of which are correct, with pshat glasses and with drash glasses. So, normally, and then what he just said is that on the level of drash, this is going to count as one. Because we're going to stress, there are two different ways of looking at this word, because it's pronounced besukos, but spelled without a vav. So on the level of drash, halachic drash, we can't use both. We would love to use both, as Tosu said, as Yerim said in the first paragraph. We would rather use both Mikra and Masoras, right? As we do by Lechem Oni, as we do by Yitain and Yutan, by Echsher Letumah. But sometimes you can't, because matzah could be both impoverished bread and bread of conversation. But if we're doing a counting drasha, you can't count the word as both one and two. Either it counts as one or it counts as two. So in this sugya, given this context, in the world of halachic drash, on the level of halachic drash, of medrash halacha, it's either or. So Chachamim just said, which one are we going to choose? The singular or the plural? In a level of medrash halacha? In counting drasha? The singular, right? Which is the masorah, right? Why? Now here's already the critical divergence, which we're going to see open up as we keep going Yireim. He didn't say because the Chacham hold masorah wins. It's because in this case, that's a strange way, that's the spelling is really strange. The pronunciation is not remarkable. So we're going to, if you can't use both, if in the level of halachic drash, in the level of interpretation that guides practical halacha, then you use the one that's more weird, that's more atypical, that's more anomalous, because that's the one that's more darshanable. So in the world of drasha, we're going to give preference to whichever one sticks out more, the sore thumb. So why did the Torah give me the other level of the pasuk also? So why the Torah, why is it pronounced, why isn't it just singular? Why isn't it just besukah? And don't point out, the Ritva did deal with that question. Why didn't the Torah say besukah? But the Rebbe's way of dealing with it is to say, no, along the lines of what we said yesterday, it's relevant to the level of pshat. It's not a level of drash. They're both meaningful and true. And this is a Yaakov you had asked yesterday. Right? But they're both meaningful, true, but they might not both be both accessible on level of drash. That's what, at that I believe he never used the word pshat, but I think that's what he means when he says, this is not a mistake, the kriyat lashon rabim, because as sukkah di alma kama shanam kama talking, he's saying, you're a Jew, you should live in sukkahs, you should bring presents. Not at any one time you bring multiple presents, but it's as a general statement, say, bring presents. Live in sukkahs. You'll move around over the course of years. You end up at different sukkahs at different times. You should spend time in sukkahs. So, in other words, a level of pshat, that's appropriate. A level of pshat, the Chumash is saying, sort of a general statement. On the level of Medrash Halacha, we ignore that because we can't use both, and we're only going with the Masoros. Let's keep going. Reb Shimon says, no, Yeshem la Mikra. We're going to darshan based on the pronunciation. Why? Why? He doesn't say because pronunciation wins over spelling. He says, She'ein derech ha-mikra lichtov lashon rabin vishum sukos di alma. What did he just say? How can we say Yeshem la Mikra? Based on what we just said in the last line. Right, it's a machlokas. He says that's weird usage. That's not normal syntax in biblical Hebrew. You don't say, maybe in English you could say, I'll get my wife, bring your wife presents. But in Reb Shimon holds, in Hebrew you would say, bring your wife a present. You should be the guy who, from time to time, brings his wife a present. You wouldn't say presents, unless you're bringing presents at a single time. It's a question of what's good Hebrew usage. What's normal way to express yourself? In other words, Chacham say, you have a spelling issue. To write sukkos that way is weird. Right? So therefore, bang, we're going to go with Chacham's going to go with Masoros, right? The usage using the word sukkos here, that's okay, we can understand that. Whereas Reb Shimon says that for a chachamim you start here. This is your problem. And Reb Shimon says, no, this is your problem. Usage, that's really weird. How are you talking? You can use the plural here. That's a strange use of the plural. Unless it actually means something. Sit in sukkos? You should live in houses. Chacham says, that's normal. Live in houses. I mean, you're not living in multiple houses at the same time. Well, the course of your life, live in houses. Live in sukkos. Chacham are okay with that. The Chacham, what's really strange is the spelling. Reb Shimon says, no. I think, looking at the Chumash, I think that the use of the plural, that's weird. That's really anomalous. The Mikra is strange, and therefore is darshanable. If it's strange, if it's out of place, then that stands out for the drasha. So Reb Shimon says, it's the plural which really stands out as strange. You should live in houses. He thinks that's Reb Shimon's hold that's very awkward. You should live in houses. You live in a house. You could say over the course of your life you will live in a series of houses. But Reb Shimon says you would never say, oh, you live in houses. Well, that's weird. And therefore, if it's weird, that's what we're going to zero in on for the drasha. Nachama, last two lines of the page. Reb Shimon Sava, Yeshim L'mikra. Why are we focusing on Mikra on the level of Medrash Halacha? She'ein derech ha-mikra, lichtu v'lashon rabim, v'shum sukkos d'alma. He says he disagrees with the Chachamim in terms of, as Yerim said before, it's machlokas over Hebrew. It's not a machlokas over how drushas work. It's a machlokas over how does Hebrew work. Reb Shimon holds, that's not normal. That's not normal usage. The Torah would not write Lashon Rabim just because of Sukkos D'Alma. Therefore, Hilchos HaDrasha Asa. Then now Rav Shimon moves in the other direction. 1 second. So then I have to explain the spelling. If I start here, Rav Shimon starts here, because Rav Shimon finds the usage to be this the most compelling kasha. So what do you do about the spelling? But now he comes to the spelling second. Im Toma, then we'll take some questions. Lama Nichta Bavav Al Derech Ha'emes B'lashon Rabim. Derech Ha'emes, he doesn't mean Kabbalistically. He just means in truth. Why indeed did we not write it? So if the plural is the most significant, meaningful aspect of the pasuk, it stands out as being really strange, and therefore we're going to darshan that. So why the divide? So why not spell it that way too? If that's what the Torah wants to focus on, so spell it that way. So why doesn't the spelling find pronunciation? If I follow the pronunciation and follow the usage, so the answer is, if you're not darshan anything from the missing vav, so why is there indeed a missing vav? So Shimon says, derech ha'emes gam lios havaras os below vav. It's not so strange to have missing vav. That's not such a strange pronunciation. Something have words with vav, without a vav, kulam, ashur. Reuven is an interesting example. Yeah, see? Apparently sometimes the Chumash has Reuven without a vav also. So Rav Shimon says, that's the fact that it's missing a vav doesn't strike me as such a bizarre spelling. He might even say, maybe it's a little bizarre, but it's not as bizarre as this usage. Which is the biggest kasha? The Chachamim, the biggest kasha, that spelling is very strange. The usage I can live with. Okay. That doesn't strike me as most bizarre. Rav Shimon says, no, the usage is very bizarre. The spelling, not shver. Whichever one is the most shver is the one that I'm going to darshan. And the other one, I'll chalk it up to, and now he chalked up in different ways. Either chalk about derech pshat, I can understand it, or that's a spelling that I can live with. There is a certain amount of variation. And the Chacham say, no. Kamak sheish chisar in vav l'drash asa. Chacham say, we don't think the machlek is over the Hebrew language. Is this a normal spelling? Maybe it's less typical. Maybe 70% of the time it's with a vav, but 30% of the time it's without a vav. That's normal. Chacham say, that's not normal. That is a bizarre spelling. If the vav is missing, that's really striking, and therefore, nitan lidarish. Umikra, and the pronunciation, going back to these chazar of the chachamim, the pronunciation, mitareitz misukos di'alma. Pronunciation, as we said before, pronunciation of sukos, that is plural, the usage, it's not such a difficult syntax, but it's a difficult spelling. Okay. Now he's gonna run with it further, but this closes up sort of the first. We already saw he gave us his first illustration. He gave us his first illustration of how you would understand a machlokas yishem and mikra yishem l'masoros. Again, let's just review what stands out, and then let's take questions. Let's just recap. What stands out is number one. That, as he said before, the first line he said, what's driving the machlokas is daik, the way in usual terminology, daikos lashon ha'ivri. What was his word daikos he keeps using? Daikonos, or hai daikos. B'daikonos lashon ha'kodesh cholkin. It's really machlokas in over Hebrew. Machlokas in over Hebrew. Spelling machlokas in over Hebrew. Usage, that's really what's driving it. In other words, It's not a machlokas over the rules of drushas. You can have a machlokas. It's not like having a machlokas whether a kal v'chomer is stronger than a gzeirah shava or a gzeirah shava is stronger than a kal v'chomer. That's not what's going on. And we're going to begin to see that. And instead, it's a machlokas over, in any given case, which is the most anomalous. Whenever there's a split, between the disconnect between spelling and pronunciation, you have to ask yourself which is more anomalous, which is the opposite way we usually think. You usually think, which is more typical? Oh, that was straight, but basically it's this. So he's saying, yeah, a little pshat, maybe you would be more drawn to what's typical. But level of drash, you're going to give the most weight to whatever stands out the most. Which one is just inexplicable? Which one can I explain in pshat ways? If I explain one in pshat ways, like Sukkos D'Alma, or just to say, this is not such an unusual spelling, like Rav Shimon said, so then I've taken care of level of pshat. So that's good. That one is a sore thumb. That one, what do you do with that? That's so strange. Oh, that presents itself for drasha purposes more than the one that's already satisfied on a pshat level. So Mimela, and what this means, as you begin to think about it, is that you don't have to always hold Yeshayim Nikr Shayim Masoris. The way we've taken us towards is Yeshayim Nikr Shayim Masoris could be a case-by-case decision. In this case, Chacham hold that usage is not so weird, that specifically, that this pronunciation I can understand. That's good usage. But the spelling, that doesn't sit well with them. And therefore, we have to vote with spelling. But maybe a different case, where different words, so there maybe the spelling is okay. And it's a pronunciation that's stranger. You don't have to be 100% consistent. It's not an underlying, it doesn't, once you have the Uraim's understanding of the mechanics of Yeshem Nikashem Masores, what's going on under the hood of the car, so to speak, is you're looking at your two options, trying to figure out which works, which doesn't work from a perspective of Hebrew, like biblical Hebrew. So then you don't have to always, no one has to be an always Yeshem LeVikar man or always Yeshem LeSoros man. And then you begin to see how he continues with this, right? He can see going forward, then Tosis is Kasha, then loads of Kasha, then this Shimon, like that, what's going on? Everything begins to dissolve. Because it's almost like saying, I don't understand. The Mishnah Tezvav said Kasha. The Mishnah Tezayin said Pasul. Astira! Do you hold Kasher or do you hold Pasul? Which one is it? I don't understand. In the Mishnah Daf Beis, Rav Hoysai, Gevaltik Akasha, Astira and Yehudas. When the Mamash is the first Mishnah. We barely get out of the box. Right? If Yehuda holds Kasher in the Rashi, the Sefer holds Pasul. Well, is he a Kasher man or a Pasul man? What's the answer? And so that's the most absurd question you ever heard in Masechet Sukkah, right? I mean, so two different cases. If a sukkah is l'malmi asaram, it's kasher. But if it only has one wall, it's pasul. Well, what's one through the other, right? Oh, what do you mean? Is Reb Shimon a kasher man or a pasul man? And that's stupid. You don't have to always hold everything as kasher. You don't have to always hold everything as pasul. There are people who are matzer everything or asar everything, but that's not, authentic Torah. Right? You don't have to be a machshir or a posel. It depends. Different things are different. Some sukkahs are kosher, some sukkahs are patzer. That's obvious. So Uraim would say, that's true by Mikra Masoros also. Thinking for the Uraim, to think that you always have to say Mikra, always have to say Masoros, makes about as much sense as saying everything has to be kosher or everything has to be posel. Why? Every case is different. You have to take each case on its merits. Sometimes I have a sukkah. Let's even imagine something slightly less absurd. And this is a mistake that some people might make. Every once in a while, there's a really bad storm over Sukkot. If there's a really bad storm over the first day of Sukkot, it's a real problem. Because before during Yom Tov, you can't fix it. It's very, very limited until you get into the fixing your Sukkot. And the schach got blown off, and now you mamash have, everyone built lovely Sukkot until the wind moved the schach around. And now all of a sudden, we have to cheshbon. Now we're using Dofna Kuma. Love it. All these didn't come to play. And you go around looking at people's backyards. Your sukkah here, don't eat there. Your sukkah is this not usable at all. I got to go. And your schlock, blew your schlock over the whole sukkah. Got to find a different sukkah. So some say, I understand, Rabbi, you told him the sukkah is fine. You told me my sukkah is not fine. Both of us had sukkahs that were whipped up by the wind. The answer is yes. Both your sons are moved up by the wind. But his sock is still loving to his wolves, and yours is not. Right? I don't have to, not that every windblown sook is either kosher or possible. You have to look at each case. So your angel says, you got to look at each case. You got to see what's going on. Here the spelling is very strange, and the pronunciation is not. Here the pronunciation is very strange. There's no kasha. I don't have to be the problem is going to be that we'll start tomorrow morning just finishing the dream. The problem is going to be you really got to have a gadol. You're reading back in, but so does one of the sages. And the problem is going to be, but the lama leisa, the gemara does seem to think that to put things together, so have to figure out, they have to wrap up those loose ends, which we'll see tomorrow. One last question for Bell.
I'm just confused about how Rabbi Shimon could say that it makes sense for him, singular as opposed to plural. Plural is a problem.
He thinks it's very bizarre. Ulukachtem lochem bayom harishon peri etzada. You don't say ulukachtem lochem peros, right? It is a good point. We're addressing a plural group of people, but still, tzitzis is also addressed to a plural group of people, but we don't talk about it's all tzitzis, kanaf.
Yeah.
But now you're engaging in what the Arayim thinks to be tanah we're doing, which is let's analyze the language. Let's try to figure out what we're